This afternoon, I'll be speaking on a subject that I don't think that we give much thought about, and that's the subject of God's messengers, the angels. You know, we know that they exist, but they are invisible. You know, angels are mentioned throughout the Bible. There are a lot of things that can be said about the angels, but today I would like to focus on four points that we can learn about angels that can help us have a greater appreciation for what angels do and how they point us to God. You know, our United Church of God booklet entitled Angels, God Messengers, and Spirit Army has much to say and to tell us about this fascinating subject of angels. Before we discuss the four points, let's consider how many angels there might be. The prophet Daniel had a vision in Daniel 7, you can start turning there, that gives us a clue as to how many angels there might be. So that's Daniel 7, 9 and 10. So on Daniel 7, 9 and 10, it says, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, his wheels a burning fire. A fiery steam issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open. 1,000 thousand is 1,000,000. So Daniel here tells us that he saw 1,000,000 angels administering to him, and 10,000 times 10,000 is 100,000,000. So Daniel here tells us that at least 100,000,000 stood before God, and these are just the angels in his throne. The Apostle Paul also witnessed a countless number of angels in Revelation 5. So in Revelation 5, verse 11, he says, Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels round the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousand of thousands. So the Apostle John also saw at least 100,000,000 angels around God's throne, just like Daniel did, but the 100,000,000 is mentioned first in this time. In Hebrews 12:22, that's Hebrews 12:22, we read, But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. So taken together with the previous two passages, it could imply that the number of angels is beyond our ability to count. So there could easily be a lot more than 100,000,000 angels, an innumerable company of angels, as the writer of Hebrews stated. So the first point that we can learn about angels that can help us have a greater appreciation for what God does and how they point us to God is that angels, as the title of the booklet states, are God messengers. The English word angel derives from a Greek word used in the New Testament is angelos. I hope I pronounced that correctly. A-G-G-E-L-O-S. And that is Strong's G-32, which means to bring tidings, a messenger, especially an angel. The Hebrew word malak, that's M-A-L-A-K, is Strong's H-4397 that is used in the Old Testament, means the same thing, messenger. It's from an unused root meaning to dispatch as a deputy, a messenger, specifically of God, an angel ambassador. So let's look at a couple of examples of an angel sent by God to deliver a message in the New Testament. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to deliver two messages in Luke 1, the birth of John the Baptist to Zacharias and the birth of Jesus Christ to Mary. So please turn with me to Luke 1, verse 11 through 14. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, that's to Zechariah, standing on the right side on the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice in his birth." And skipping to verse 18, and Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." So here we are told that Gabriel, his name meaning strong man of God, was specifically sent by God to deliver a message about the birth of John the Baptist to Zacharias while he was serving in the temple of God. Zacharias and Elizabeth were well advanced in years, and earlier in this chapter we are told that they had no children. So later in the same chapter, we are told that Gabriel was again sent by God some 6 months later to deliver another message, this time to Mary. So we read that in Luke 1 where we're at. Go to verse 26. "And now in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was." And verse 30, "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. So here we see another example of an angel sent by God, this time to Mary to deliver a message about the birth of Jesus Christ. So the first point is that angels are God messengers that God sends to deliver a message. The angels are doing God's bidding. There are also other examples in the Bible that we could go to where angels are sent by God to deliver a message. The second point is that angels direct us to worship God. So there was a religious movement in the first century that was starting to enter the church that falsely taught that angels are intermediaries between God and man. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 2 tackled this straight on when he wrote, that's on Colossians 2, Colossians 2, verse 18. "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." So the Apostle Paul warned against worshiping angels. You know, the Hoffman Bible Dictionary states that this incorrect teaching claimed that knowing about angels enabled one to gain blessing in this life and attain the level of divine in the next. So that was their incorrect teaching. You know, there are other examples in the New Testament in which an angel pointed the Apostle John toward God and not toward himself. So please turn with me to Revelation 22. So that's Revelation 22, verse 6 through 9. "Then he said to me, 'These words are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must surely take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book.' in verse 8. And now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angels who worshiped me these things. And then in verse 9, then he said to me, See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and your brethren, your prophets, and of those who keep the word of this book, worship God. So the angel, in this case, clearly told John that he was not to bow down to him, and he told him why. Because he was an angel, because the angel was God's fellow servant, and also of John's brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the word of his book. And lastly, the angel told John to worship God. Another reference is made in Revelation 19:9-10. So in Revelation 19:9-10, then he said to me, write, blessed are thee are those that were called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the sayings of the Lord, of the God, of God. And in verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So again, the angel tells John not to worship him, but to worship God. So we are not to worship God. We are only to worship God, and we should only direct our prayers to him. And the booklet, Angels, God Messengers, and Spirit Army, it states, and I quote, we are to worship and revere God, not his angels. The angels are God messengers, his ministering spirits, who serve God's people. So they appear to mankind when necessary to pass on a message or take care of a duty for God. If you wish to express thanks for what God's holy angels do for you and all of us, give thanks to God. They act at his command, but never seek to thank or praise the angels directly. This goes against what God directs, unquote. So God alone is worthy of worship. The third point is that one of the purposes of angels is to protect God's people. In Psalms 91:11, that's Psalms 91:11, we read, for we shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And verse 12, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And also we read in Psalms 37:7, that's 37:7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and deliver him. You know, there are examples in the Bible of God using angels to protect his people, such as the physical protection that an angel gave to Daniel when the angel closed the mouths of the lions. You remember the story, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den after he continued to pray and make supplications before God. Of course, that was contrary to the king's decree that the governors and others at the king signed. So to continue the story, the king came to the lion's den early in the morning, and we read in Daniel 6. So we read in Daniel 6, 20 to 22. Daniel 6, 20 to 22. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? And then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. And on verse 22, and my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths so that they have not heard me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. So this was truly God sending an angel to protect Daniel from the lions that would have killed him before he even landed on the ground. At the end of the booklet, Angels, God's Messengers, and Spirit Army, there's a segment entitled Personal Stories of Angelic Encounters. There are seven personal stories of angelic help for God's people. You know, they were placed in the book to encourage and inspire us. At first, I thought about reading one of the stories to you, but I had an incident that occurred about 51 years ago that I decided to go ahead and tell you that instead. And looking back at it, it was probably an angelic protection. You know, I was attending Ambassador College in Pasadena, California in the early 1970s, and it was most likely my junior year. A classmate and I were invited to go with two international students during the spring break to visit some place of interest in Arizona. So I recall, looking back at it 51 years ago, we had finished touring one of the places, and we were on our way to the next place to visit. You know, most of the times the international students would sit together, either in the back or in the front, depending upon who was driving. But in this case, for whatever reason, I was sitting in the front seat, and one of the international students was driving. So we were on one of those two-lane roads heading to the next destination. You know, we got behind this 18-wheeler, and that's what happens when you get behind 18-wheeler on a two-lane road. The truck is either going too slow, or our driver thinking they were going slower than we wanted him to go. So at some point, the driver decided that he wanted to go ahead and pass him. Like I was saying, he didn't tell anybody. He didn't make that known to any of us. So he proceeds to go around the truck. So as soon as he changed lanes, that definitely got my attention. I was all eyes, as you might say, just looking at the horizon, see if any cars were coming. And sure enough, I saw this vehicle coming our way. So you might say, was I scared? You bet I was, having this car coming at us. But it was too late to change lanes. You know, because we were already in the process of passing the vehicle. So my gut reaction was to, for whatever reason, reach and grab the wheel. You know, I don't know what that would have done, but I guess I had to make sure that the driver didn't move the wheel one way or the other, being an international student. And what happened next is still a mystery to me. All I know is that we did not get hit at all, not even a scratch. You know, and whatever happened, it happened really fast. I did not have time to analyze what happened as we were still trying to pass the truck, and I was still looking ahead to make sure there was no other cars coming our way. Fortunately, there was no other cars coming our way, and I was relieved when we passed the truck and got on the other lane. You know, and who knows what that truck driver was thinking, or what, whether he took evasive action. You know, who knows? You know, was there some angelic protection making sure we did not get hit head on? Well, thinking about it, you know, yes, I think that what happened. You know, I would say yes, that we had God's, the angel's protection, and I'm so grateful for that protection. You know, some of you probably have stories to tell, experiences that you had, or you've known of people that have told you stories about angelic protection. And I'm sure that we're going to be pleasantly surprised in the future when we find out just how many times the angels have been there to protect us, you know, in one way or the other, especially when we consider all the dumb things that we have done. And some of those times when we say to ourselves, ooh, that was close. Well, the fourth point is that angels praise God. An important role of angels is praising and glorifying God. Now, there are many verses in the Bible that tells us of millions of angels, as we just read, coming together to praise Him. These Bible verses help guide us to God and teach us how we can and should honor God and praise God too. So earlier, We read Revelation 5:11 of the 100 million angels around God's throne. Well, what were they doing? So let's go back to Revelation 5:11. And let's go ahead and continue reading. We'll read Revelation 5:11 again. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So we'll continue reading on verse 12, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the seas and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessed and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And verse 14, then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. So the angels were giving praise and worshiping God. You know, it's hard to imagine 100 million angels giving praise to God. You know, where do you put that many angels? And there were also the 24 elders also were worshiping God. In Luke 2, is another example of angels praising God. So that's Luke 2. That's when Christ was born and angels appeared to the shepherds in the field. So that's Luke 2, starting in verse 10. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and to God peace, goodwill toward men." So the angels here were celebrating Jesus' birth, knowing that one day he would be the Savior of all mankind. Also in this case too, the angels were acting as a messenger, delivering a message to the shepherds in the field. In Isaiah 3, we read, starting verse 1, Isaiah 6, not sure if I said, Isaiah 6, starting verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his face, his feet, and with two he flew." Boy, one of these days we would love to see those angels. "And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" So an important role of angels is praising and glorifying God. The angels can teach us how we can and honor and praise God. So we need to follow their example to praise and praise God more than we do. In the book of Psalms, the word praise, praises, praising, or another form of the word praise is used 140 times in Psalms in the King James Version for the website Answers.com. In Psalms 119, 164, that's 119, 164, We read, 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Another example is Psalms 148, verses 1 to 2. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the highest. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. In this chapter alone, the word praise is used 13 times. Well, angels are powerful spirit beings created by God and have been around a very long time. Human beings, us, have a greater purpose in future than the angels. Human beings who remain faithful and become God's spirit children will be exalted above the angels. In Hebrews 1, that's Hebrews 1, on verse 13 and 14. So let's go ahead and read Hebrews 1, 13. We read, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? As hard as it is to believe, God's human children will eventually be glorified and then ruling over the angels. What an awesome future we have, and a big responsibility at that. In 1 Corinthians 6:12, this will be my last scripture, the Apostle Paul states, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? And verse 3, do you not know that we shall judge the angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So clearly, God intended for human beings to ultimately be much more than angels. But in the meantime, while we are here still human, we can learn from angels. The angels are totally dependent to God doing his will, as in the case of them being God messengers, speaking only what God tells them to say. So the 4 points that I covered that we can learn about God's angels that can help us have a greater appreciation for what they do and how they point us to God are, the first point that I covered was that the angels, as the title again of the book that states, are God messengers. The second point is that the angels direct us to worship God. They don't want to be worshiped, and they direct us to only worship God. The third point is that one of the purposes of angels is to protect God's people. And the fourth point is that the angels praise God. The angels praise and glorify God, which is an important role of angels. This is something that we should also be doing more of. So the angels are God's messengers and spirit army. So let's give God thanks for his angels and what they do for us and how they point us to God.